We're going Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Perek Tashi, the ninth Perek in Hilchas Torah Menitin, laws proclaiming and defending the Sefer Mishpatim book of judgments, where we continue the theme of the previous Perek discussing the laws of Chazakas, who do we presume to be the rightful owner. In this Perek we discuss specifically regarding the Chazaka of an Uman, of a craftsman, Lekech, and a buyer, and regarding the Halacha of when two people are holding onto it, who do we presume then to be the owner. Halacha of Rambam gives regarding the Chazaka of a Uman. Who Uman, a craftsman, he doesn't have a presumptive status as the owner in vessels that he has in his possession. And this is Echad Kel Masum Lahash Lasker, which is contrasting with the previous parak, whether these are vessels that are meant to be lent out and rented. Ve'echad Shokim, whether all of the vessels, because it doesn't make a difference. Regular vessels also are given over to the craftsman to fix. The fact that he has it in his store doesn't mean that it's his. So, Kate said, how so? We see vessels in the possession of the craftsman. And he brings witnesses that know that it's his. And the guy saying, what do you mean? Lasakin the Sat of Lach. Yeah, but I gave it to you to fix it. And then the craftsman says, no. No, it's only given into my possession because it was sold or given to me. He claims, no, you gave it to me. You sold it to me. Yes, you originally gave it to me to fix. But after that, you decided, you know what? You keep it or you sold it to me. So even though when he gave it to me, not in front of witnesses, he has no way to verify that he gave it to him to fix. Balakli Neman, still the owner of the vessel is believed. When we see this in Yad Oman, we take it away from the hands of the craftsman. It's just that the owner has to make a rabbinic oath on the claim of the craftsman that, what do you mean, it was sold to me or it was given to me. Now, there are some of the Goinim that they rule that even if the homeowner does not bring witnesses that this is his vessel, since he sees his vessel in the possession of the craftsman, and the craftsman admits that it was his, but just that he sold it to him, that Neman, the owner of the vessel, is going to be believed because the Uman is not believed even with a migui, that because when he admits that the vessel came to him from the claimant. But if he says, let's say he says that, no, this never happened at all, but this was my vessel, remember your vessel, then the craftsman will believe, and this bastard has to take just a rabbinic oath, because he didn't have to even admit that it's that guy's. And here he's saying, meaning, if he does admit, he's not believed to say that he didn't. That's what some of the Goyim rule. But if he says, then he's believed. Then heavy balabais edim shakli has a yadula. But if let's say the owner brings witnesses that this vessel is known to be his, then obviously enu v'neman. Then the craftsman is not believed. But since Rambam b'din zed this halacha that the owner of the vessel is believed even when he doesn't bring witnesses that the vessel is his, says Rambam pelu be'enai. It's a wonder in my eyes, which he's bringing from yesh go'inim that say this. That why would the craftsman not be believed? At least with a miga that he could have said lohayd v'ma oilim. You're saying when he says it never happened, he is believed. So why when he admits, but he just said it was sold to him. That why is he not believed if that guy doesn't have witnesses? If he has witnesses, fine. But if he doesn't have witnesses, so why shouldn't he not be believed? And it says Rambam, it's a wonder how they go in and say that. Halacha beis, le'ira hakli b'yad u'man. If he doesn't see the vessel in the hand of the craftsman, el toin v'am, rather he's claiming, he's saying, kli plaini nisat to believe the sakin, a certain vessel he claims that he gave to the craftsman to fix. The woman, I mean, the craftsman says, what do you mean, chazarta machartai? You went back and then you sold it. Well, then you gave it to me. So in this case, the craftsman actually could swear the rabbinic oath and be exempt. Why? Because he could say, it never happened because we don't see it there by him, in contrast to the previous halacha. And even if when he gave it to me, give it to him in front of witnesses to see that he's giving it over to him to fix, still still the craftsman believed, because since he could say, that I give it back, because when someone deposits something by his friend, even with witnesses, in the we don't have to give it back with witnesses. The fikr, therefore, nishba umen heses benifta. The craftsman could just swear a rabbinic oath of heses and be exempt. And ve'emachayven eshleit zekele, we don't force him to produce the vessel, which would be different if we did see it. Now, but ve'emachayven, if he does bring it out, oh, hoyl benira, since it's seen now, hadei balabais, maybe edim shushaloi, so then now the homeowner brings witnesses that it's his, and benoitli, then he does take it. And that's avabish shemesor le'bulay edim, even though he gave it over to him, not with witnesses, k'meshran, like we explained this already in halacha aleph. Lefikach, therefore, I'm toina umen va'amref. The craftsman claims and he says, look, shtaim katzatzli b'schari. He says, yes, of course, you gave me this vessel to fix it. But we made the price that it's going to be 2 dinar. Well, Baal and the customer says, what do you mean? Lo katzatz lo chalachas. We made up, I'm going to pay you only 1 dinar. So im hoya klin near b'vnim, if the vessel was seen here and we see it in front of us, hoyal v'umen ein lei boi chazak, since the craftsman does not have a chazak on it, like we said, the difference is if it's visible or not. If it's visible, we see it, then he doesn't have the chazakam. And the he cannot claim, oh, that it was bought by me. So therefore the homeowner, the customer, he swears holding a holy object regarding the price that they made up. Like we said in the laws of employees by hired laborers in the 11th Perek Halacha Zayin, that the Chacham did not institute that the guy who wants to get paid, that he should swear and collect. That's only regarding that he wasn't paid yet, but not regarding the wages. So therefore, the craftsman wants to get paid, you don't get to swear. The one who is the one who's paying, which is the customer, he swears how much they made up. I mean, that's not so much he gives because the craftsman is not muchzeh because we see the vessel. But if let's say the vessel is not visible in front of us, so since the craftsman is believed to say, he is believed to say that he bought it because it's not visible. So he could have denied the whole thing. So the fact that he's admitting, but we believe him that he could say that it's bought. So even if he's not saying it's bought, he's saying, no, you're right, I was given to fix it, but he could have said it was bought. So yochlit not kidding dumb up. So then he could make a claim up until the value of the object about how much he is owed for the work. The nishbam and the kid is chavis of neitel, and he swears holy object, the craftsman, and he collects kedech kol nishbam and neitel, like all those who swear and they collect. Mishra Ran, like I already explained this in Perek Ches Halacha Beis. So again, that's the difference if we see it or we don't see it. Halacha Gimel, Uman sheyored mium nasay, regarding a craftsman that left his profession from this craft, or Uven Uman, or the son of the craftsman. Hadim kashor kolod, they're like all other people. V'yeshem chazaka b'chol matan, they do have chazakas, like all movable items, like we explained, and the fact that he used to be a professional, or his father was a professional, doesn't make him any worse. Halacha Dalet continues regarding the suspicion regarding that it was robbed. So mishin nechnes lebeisah shechaved b'fnei b'al ha'bayis, if someone goes into someone else's house in front of the homeowner, the yatzi comes out, but came to munatas kenuf. If it's evident that he's hiding some type of vessels beneath his garment, veid merayinu say, and witnesses see that he's walking out like that. Ula achas man, at a later point in time, tvo bala bayis b'amalai, the homeowner claims this from that person who walked out, and he tells him, hachli kelim shashaticha, give me back the vessels that I lent you. Varei ha'edim, and there's witnesses who saw you go out with vessels. Voiman, he says, yeah, but lekuchen be other. I bought those vessels. In and he's not believed. The homeowner has to swear a binnik oath on the claim of the guy who left, that is claiming that he sold it to him and he gave it to him. He has to swear that no, it was not sold and not gifted. And then, and therefore then the courts go and give the vessel back to the homeowner. And he's not believed to say that he bought it. Now, but when we say this, only by a regular homeowner who doesn't usually sell his vessels. So this guy's not believed to say he was sold. And moreover, the guy who was taking it out underneath his garment, in Darkalitzni, he's not a private guy. He's not so discreet. He would have normally carried it out in the open. And third of all, these vessels, in Derech B'nei Adam Atznim, it's not such a private type of a vessel. People don't usually hide them. So all those things considered, Lefikach Chayav Lahazir, if he has to return it back, because Lefisha Yitzniim, because the only reason why he hid it was Elich B'nei, because he wanted to deny regarding the claim of the homeowner. Aval Balabais Oslim Keskel, but let's say you're talking about a homeowner that usually sells his vessels. So Ava Bishin Zitznua, even though that this guy's not discreet, and the in derech is making like rin tatzik and vayim, and these vessels are not usually hidden beneath the garment, still, since he usually does sell them, the guy who walked out with it, he could swear rabbinic oath that he did buy it, and therefore, although why do you hide it, and these are not vessels usually hide, it doesn't make a difference. This guy usually sells, and therefore he's believed by Tengah Shuiz Hesses that he did buy them. And so too, let's say he walked out with this vessel out in the open in front of witnesses. So even though the homeowner doesn't usually sell his vessels, this guy's believed to say that I bought them, because if he was trying to hide, then he would have not gone out with it out in the open. Because even though this guy doesn't usually sell, maybe he needed money, maybe he sold it. As long as, in other words, in all this situation that we described before, that he believed to say that he bought it, is shloim edvar masum lahashal haska. As long as they're not from items that are made to lend and to rent, then we don't believe him that he bought it, because they're always meant, then they made originally to only lend and to lease them out. Now, regarding a vessel that's made for renting, avol dvar masum lahashal haska, because if there are things that were made to rent and to lend, they always have the presumed status of the original owners, not the one who has it right now, like we explained. And therefore, even though the guy who went out with him went out in the open, and even though this homeowner generally sells his vessels, but since he has witnesses, that it's only made for lending it out or for renting, then it's known to be his. We take it away from the guy who has it right now. At least until he brings a proof that he did sell it to him or that he gave it to him. Like the halacha of real estate properties, which is always in the presumed status of its original owners, like we'll explain later on in Perek Yud Aleph. Halacha hey. Even if this guy who the vessel is in his possession right now dies, we take it away from the possession of the inheritors without an oath, like as we just following the heels of what we just said before, because it's asun lahash lahaska. Since the father has no right to claim that he bought it, like we said, because it's only meant to rent or to lend, or to claim that it was a security, so too, we don't allow the Yairish that Yachalesh Biyoi to go ahead and make the owner swear, because you cannot make someone take an oath, a Shuas Hesses, on a doubtful claim, which that's what it would be. Now, Vimtoina Yedish Tain is Vadai, but let's say the inheritor makes a definite claim, and he says, Bafanin Asan Elavi, what do you mean, front of me, he gave this to my father, we sold it to him. Then Hari Balabais Nishbahesses Kesher Kal Nishban, then the homeowner does have to take a rabbinic oath, like all of the people that when there's a definite claim have to take the rabbinic oath of Hesses. Now, Kvabriano, we already explained, Sheesh Mishar, that there are those who rule, Sheyeshava Balabais Hesses, that the homeowner should always take the rabbinic oath, and only the Achach Yasu Kilmi Ariyash, and only then get back his vessel from the hand of the inheritor, even though the inheritor only has a Taina Safik, which Rama says, but my opinion is not inclined to that opinion. Halach Vav, regarding that there's a chazaka that a person does not have audacity in the face of the truth. So Mishalakach Kardim Ba'amar. So someone takes a hatchet and he says, Harini Hailik Ligzer Dikla Shalplaini, I'm going to chop down the palm tree of that person, Shemacharili, which he sold to me. But Karsa Deklin takes his axe and he chops down the tree. Hariz Bachaskasi, it's presumed to be his. A person does not usually have the brazenness, but Kurdis Elon changed his leg to go chop down a tree that's not his. So we believe that it was sold to him. Now, Vimtana Boil Mishalim Mechadu. Now, if let's say subsequently the owner claims that he didn't sell it to him, Nishbezah HaKodes Heses Shushaloi. So the one who cut down the tree takes the rabbinic oath that it was his, that it is his, Viniftin, he's exempt. Now, Vikimit Shanechres, once it's cut down, Hadik Kashakam Talent, like all other movable items, which are presuming the status of the one who's in possession of it right now. Same thing as let's say someone goes in someone else's field. Vachal Pedesah, Shana Shanesan, for a year or two, he's eaten the payers of that field. Now the owners come and claim, this guy came down on permission because he's a robber and he was eating what's not his. Now, witnesses that testify that he ate it. Now the one who went into the fields, he says, yeah, it was with your permission I went down to eat the produce. The one who ate it is believed. He just has to take a rabbinic oath on that truth. Because chazaki, it's a presumed element, she'ein od demeis pana, a person does not have the brazenness of eichel perish and mishalai, to go ahead and eat someone else's fruit for a year or two, that's not his. Now, af al pi shar karka b'ches balein, although the real estate, the property itself, is in the presumed ownership of the original owner, because you didn't eat the perish for 3 years, or only then would it switch the transfer the ownership, the presumed ownership of the karka, still in a pedis b'ches kesabalim, but the produce itself is not in the presumed ownership of the owners, could be he sold that. Because she'ein odem moichah peiris adeo b'shtar, a person doesn't sell the produce of his field with a document. Kadesh noimel is eshachol, to tell that person, the guy who's eating it, well, habishtarcha, bring your document. No, we don't sell peiris with documents. Karka we do. And therefore, he's believed to say that the peiris were his. And main tzach lemme, in order to say, she'ochol peiris seo shonim rabbis, that if he ate the produce for many years, then for sure, because she'metich she'echol lemme, since he could say, lukuchi biyadi, that we'll see in the Perek Yud Aleph, that someone eats the peiris for 3 years, he could even say that the property is his. For sure, Nemalayim is believed to say, I was coming down with the payers, and Yeshua Behesus, and he could just take a rabbinic oath, and he's believed to say that it was his. Now, Lucha Zayin continues, what happens if no one, not one person is in possession, but actually, Shnayim, Shayu Oichzim Kleachad. If you have two people that are holding onto one vessel, or similarly, Shayu Reichim Nagabi Beim Achad, they're both riding one animal. Oy Shayu Echad Reichim Echad Manig, one was riding it, one was leading it. Oh, Yeshua Mitzad Arim Shalchitim, or similarly, let's say they're sitting on the side of a pile of wheat. And the wheat is in some alleyway, or in a sheared courtyard of both of them, which either one of them could acquire in any one of these places, and therefore they're both considered like potential muhzakim in the wheat. Now, this guy's saying, Hakoshli, it's all mine. This guy's saying, Hakoshli, it's all mine. Whether it be the vessel, or the animal, or the pile of wheat, whatever it is. So each one of them has to swear, holding holy object, that he does not have in this item, Pachis mechetze, less than half. And mechaliku, then they split it, and each one of them gets half. Now, because if, let's say, the pile of wheat was in the Rosh Hashanah, none of them would be muchzik, because it's, that's not a place where you can to acquire it, and therefore, whoever grabs it first will merit. But it's a place that they either won, so we're going to say that, yachaliku. Now, b'shvu zu, this oath that they have to swear, that each one swears that he doesn't have less than half, is takan chacham, it's a rabbinic invention. That you shouldn't have every guy just grab his friend's jacket and take it without an oath. Say, well, I'm in possession of it. No, we require you to take an oath that you don't have less than half, and then we go ahead and split it, because just the fact that you're muchzik, each one of them, that itself gives the reason for splitting. But the oath is to prevent that the guy is just going to grab it and like show, well, I'm muchzik. Halacha ches. Now, Zelim, if this guy says, kulishli, it's all mine. But then another guy says, no, it's not all mine, it's chetzishli, half it is mine. So essentially, their debate is only on half of the vessel or half of the animal, because the other half, one of them agrees to the other one, I'm only saying half is mine, but you're saying all of it is yours. So imakulishli, the one says, all mine. So here, instead of each one swearing, it doesn't have less than half, which would make it 50-50, but it's not. We're only discussing 50, which this guy's saying he has 50 and he says he has 100. So it's on that 50. So essentially, if it's on that 50, this guy's claiming he has 75, this guy's saying he has 25. So ho'emer, this guy who says kulishli, it's all mine, yeshavash ein lebapach is mishlash chlokim, he swears it doesn't have less than three quarters of it. Vo'emer chetzli, the one says it's half of mine, where again, he's splitting that, just like we said when it's 50, the 100, each one saying 100, you give it 50-50. Here where they're only debating on 50, so that 50 gets split into half. So he, the one who says half of it is mine, so yeshavash ein lebapach is mervi, he says it doesn't have less than a quarter of the whole thing, which is half of this half, which is what they're only debating on. And therefore, then this guy takes three quarters, and this guy takes one quarter. From here, you learn out for all those who swear to collect, whether it's a lesser type of oath, or a more severe type of oath, that he doesn't swear on what he claims, rather than what he takes. Although his claim was for more, here he's claiming all of it, here he's claiming half of it, but ultimately he's taking a quarter, he's taking a three quarters, so that's on what the oath is, on what you take, and not on what your claim was. Halacha tes. Let's say both of them were holding onto a talus, onto a jacket or a tail cloak. Zalim, and this one says, kulishli, it's all mine. Zalim, and kulishli says, it's all mine. So then, this guy takes up until where his hand reaches. And this guy takes up until where his hand reaches. And the rest, they split equally. After they swear that to this effect. And now each one can make and roll onto the other one. That whatever it is that he took, meaning that even the portion that was in his hand, that he took according to the law, meaning the part that they weren't holding, which is what they're splitting, so that's what we're saying, they have to swear amount that they're taking. But what they were holding on to, they don't swear for. But with Gilgul Shvuah, you can make him even swear regarding what he was even holding on to, which he gets to take. Because once you get him swear, you can get him swear on other things too. Halacha Yud, Ho'yizeh Oichaz Bachutin Shebesvas HaTalos. This guy was holding on to the threads at the edge of the cloak. V'zeh Bachutin Shebesvas HaCheres. And this guy was holding on to the threads on the other edge. So here it's not like where the hands get up to, because they're literally holding onto the edges. So in this type of situation, but then you split the whole thing equally. After they swear, which is really what we had said, you don't have the halacha about makam shir magas, because you're not really holding on to anything really. Now when we talk about these halachas of dividing it, he gets half, or three quarters and a quarter, that's but dumb. It's regarding a monetary value. It's not that we should ruin the actual vessel, or the cloak, or that they actually kill the animal and split in half. I mean, the monetary value gets split in that amount. Let's say one was holding on to the whole thing. But this other guy is struggling with him, and he's holding on, he's trying to hang on. So it's in the presumed status of the one who's holding on to the whole thing, not the guy who's trying to get in a piece over there. Halacha Yud Beis. Let's say both of them come to court holding onto it. But one of them grabs it away from the other one in front of us. And the second one is silent. Even if he subsequently goes and later on he starts screaming about it, we don't take it away from the guy who grabbed it away. Because since the guy who was grabbed away from was silent in the beginning, that's what's called shtika kaido. The silence is like as he admits that it's not really his. Now let's say chazar sheni. Let's say the guy who was quiet and only later screamed. He goes, utkav mishan, now grabs away from the first guy. So even if that first guy doesn't scream, not the beginning and not all the way to the end, Still, Chalkin, we're going to divide. And the reason why that is because it's possible that since the second one already admitted to the first one when he didn't scream initially, his shtika was kaidah, and he can't back out of that. So since there's ways to interpret it one way and the other way, so it's like an equal doubt. So therefore, that's where we're going to split it, even though that first guy doesn't even end up screaming about it. Halacha Gimel, bo shnei maduka metalis. Let's say both of them came into court holding on to this talis. But Marlam, we say to them, okay, tsu v'chil kristameo, go ahead and split the value. Yatsu, they go out, v'chazun, they come back. And now, very tachas yad echem, now only one of them is holding on to it. So Zed, this one is holding on to it, Toini claims, oh, haida, this guy admitted. And Vince Talkman, and therefore, you know, he removed himself from this. Zed Toin, the other guy is claiming, no, shemachartavloi. Really, the girsa should be hiskartavloi, that I'm renting it to him. Oin iskabalo, who he overpowered me. Vachatavin, they grabbed it away. The one who wants to extract from his friend, he has the onus of proof is on him because we tell him, we say, wait a second. A moment ago, this guy, you were claiming that he's stealing from you, claimed it's all yours, and he was claiming it's all his. And now you tell me that you rented the talis to him without witnesses? Yeah, you, now that he's holding on to it, you would have to bring witnesses. You would have to bring some type of proof that you actually leased it to him or that he overpowered you. Vim lohibi, right? But doesn't bring proof. Yeshava zeh sheishalai. The guy was holding on to it. He could just swear that it's his because he's the one that's holding on to it right now. Vipata, and he'll be exempt. And mechik, it's anything like that. The one who's holding on to it in possession, he has the chazakah.